What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Yay, it worked this time.
Yay.
Technical difficulty.
Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, set me free. Hey, hey. Oh, yes.
What's up, Edmondson? What's popping?
Hi.
Hi. Oh, intro. You are now watching or listening. What works for us? All black.
All queer.
All black.
We wasn't gonna do this anymore because of our intro, and we just heard it in the song.
Well, I just have to make sure that you are engaged. That you are.
Oh, I'm very engaged. I have to be.
Okay. Shout out to producer Edmondson. You know, and all the work in the background that he does, you know, for our episodes. You got any sound effects? Some claps?
Right. I'd be forgetting about these. And they right in front of my face and I forget them. But, yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, so this episode, July, what are we, before we check in, I guess a shout out to 250 years of our great nation. You ready to do the Star Spangled Banner? Let's do it like Destiny Child did it.
I thought we wasn't supposed to be caring about that.
You know what? We got to talk about that because, you know, I think you said something about Juneteenth Part 2. Mm-hmm. And I think what will really gag this country and what is rightfully ours is the idea of us being more patriotic of the United States if we own it. Because I think what we kind of talked about this online. I don't know if we ever talked about it on a podcast. I think what helps Americans that are non-black to feel that we're not, this not our country, is our lack of patriotism that we, you know, tend to, you know, like we got to have the separate colors, the separate national anthem and all of that. But really, all of that shit belongs to us because it's almost like you want to snatch that shit. Give me that shit. And so I'm kind of down with that. And you know what? Okay, I know we're off topic a little. Well, we're not really off. We haven't really started talking.
You talking about the holiday.
We saw this video. I saw this video recently because, you know, at the World Cup. Shout out to the World Cup. Shout out to Ronaldo. Shout out to Messi. You know, with that Argentina versus Portugal. Shout out to Mexico. Mexico is the best in the World Cup right now. The number one team, the furthest they've ever been. And shout out to the United States of America. And so I saw a video on the World Cup page, and it was a bunch of black guys dressed patriotic. You know, they was like, you know, hip-hop. But they had the, like the red, white, and blue, and they was representing America. They was excited because America won their match. America is also going to the next round, the top 16 team. So America is in it. But then you look at our star player on America, he's black. You look at the imagery that they're showing around American team, they're black. So it was just like, wow. Like, they tried to make it, you know, even, I mean, we know that all sports. But I feel like when it comes to the World Cup, that's really a global conversation constantly every day, right? Like, we're hearing this, and I'm just like, I'm rooting for America, and you know, and of course, I could root because in my mind, like, when I started off, I was rooting for Haiti, I was rooting for Ghana, I was rooting for Cap Verde. I'm like, well, bitch, our star player is black, we winning. This is a nation of black people. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's just interesting that way. So I think it really gagged them. What do you think about, I mean, Juneteenth Part 2, I know that's how you said it earlier. What are you thinking about black people? And I know we talked about it, but since we are, you know, this is the weekend or the month of the 250th anniversary, what do you feel? This is just a little tad bit before we checking in. How do you feel about us being more patriotic? Would that change the narrative if we just own that shit? Like, we own everything else we choose to own?
I mean, maybe. I mean, but I guess if you thought of it in the present tense and just didn't really focus on, like, the history of everything, because I think once you get into that, it's like, yeah, like people say, we wasn't, you know, a lot of these 4th of July's, we were not technically free. So if you just look at it like, okay, well, that's what happened in the past, but now we are, this is our country, we here, you know.
We survived it.
Yeah, and we survived it. If you look at it in that way, maybe.
It's ours. We survived it. The only reason why most of this stuff exists is because of, really, they would say that even one of the first 4th of July, you know, a lot of these different holidays is because of us. So, I don't know. I think we need to take a review of, you know, what it looks like. And what do you think about, too, that we look at, and I'm only bringing this up because, you know, TikTok been crazy about this. You look at all the teams, except for Argentina, right? It's black folk on every war. Because you know how they try to make it seem like, oh, soccer, that's not a black person sport. Have you watched soccer lately? There's just a lot of bodies of black folks that's playing. Whether clearly,
that's not Wheaties manager's market. Mm-hmm. Because you heard about that other... Had you heard about that... soccer player who went to jail because he was like smuggling drugs.
Recently.
One of these little Instagram girl. He was one of them. Who was it? Dream Dow, her baby daddy. Okay. And I'm like, well, is Saweetie your manager too? Because I'm like, because how did you find him?
Okay.
And he was supposedly married. Girl. But okay. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Well, shout out to the World Cup. Shout out to America. Shout out to all my black men playing in the World Cup across the globe or whatever, you know, and still dealing with, you know, the banana emojis and all of that other racist stuff that these, you know, foreigners and even Americans like to do. But, you know what time it is, Emerson. It is time to what?
Check in.
I went first last time, girl. What's going on with you, honey?
Honestly, not much. Same old for me. My check-in's going to be very short because it's just another week. I still was outside last week, and I'm enjoying being outside. Nothing really. The same. Honestly, it's the same old. As far as internet goes, though, I haven't talked about this openly, but, like, I am really enjoying my little animal videos. I follow a lot of farms that has all these different type of animals, and, like, I'm starting to learn their names. I'm starting to know their different personalities, which one's pregnant, which one's just had babies, emus, cows, ducks, sheep, lions, lionesses.
It's a lion on a farm.
The lion is not on the farm. The lion is not on the farm. The lion is big, but the lion is like they're not in the wild. They're
in captivity,
right? But yeah. It's kind of cool, the lion that I watch, because it's not. I don't watch them ones where they keep them in a small cage like they're a dog. I feel like that's animal abuse. This one is in the Kalahari, and her name is Serga, and she has like 2,000 acres of her own like land that's fenced off that her owner just he built it like around. He did the whole fence, everything. So she has 2,000 acres that she has by herself, and then she can go out in the wild whenever she wants to, and then she can eat like all the little elks and all that kind of stuff. It's a whole bunch of shit out in the Kalahari that she can eat. So, and she still hunts, and yeah, it's cute. So I'm just like into that because this is, and I really prefer those videos over everything else just because I think everything else is a whole bunch of bull crap. It's like, honestly, I don't know if I'm becoming one of them. I don't know if my age is starting to set in, but I feel like I do feel like that. That is a check. I feel like my age is starting to set in, not necessarily physically, but how I think about things. I just be really like, oh, this is just a whole bunch of BS. Like, I just don't really have time for it. Don't want to hear it. Today we're talking about music. And, you know, we'll get there as far as the BT Awards. I did not watch because I just cannot. But Tariq did. So we'll get, he can update us. And, I'll just see, from whatever clip I saw, which is not very many because I prefer my animal videos over watching those clips. We can talk about it. But that's it for me. But summer just started. But why does it seem like it's almost like we're already in the middle of it? Does it seem like that?
It's July. I mean, we're definitely in the middle of it, right?
But summer just started June 21st.
Well, summer starts Memorial Day weekend, technically.
I mean, yeah. But I feel like as adults.
Memorial Day to revert for Labor to Labor Day.
But I feel like that's a school. That's age. I feel like as adults, though, like, should we be following it? I feel like that's a school schedule. Because technically, we still got to, I get it, it's those are the holidays and stuff like that, but that's for the kids. We could still very much turn up after Labor Day. We going to work like we always do. We go to work all summer, so we could take it all the way to the end. The kids is the only ones that they ain't got that time because they got to go back to school. Anyway.
You want to extend summer?
No, it's officially, the September 21st? That's when it officially ends. I think for adults, I think that kid, I get what you're saying, yes. But I feel like that's a school schedule from Memorial Day to Labor Day because kids go back to school. But I don't have children. I don't have to align myself with that. That's just me. I feel like I can take it all through.
If you look at it like that, I mean, then you just started summer late. So that means the adults started summer early who got kids. Again, we don't have kids, but we got to remember, like, most adults have kids, kind of, sort of, right? And so I feel like, you get an early summer start and summer kind of ends. And I think really, I don't know, I agree that it's school, but I also think it's majority of the weather in America, right? Like, I think that's because a lot of places, by the time we get to September 21st, it's not summer weather in the country, right? Like, and then it just, we live in Texas too. So we skip spring and fall, really. Like, we go from like cold to hot to hot.
Yeah.
So our summer really thinking about Austin, because we be, Halloween. I think Halloween is that's where we started to notice for real. Like, okay, it's getting cold outside because it can go either way. Yeah. Halloween is unpredictable. Some years it's like 80, 90. Some years it's 50, 60. It's just kind of like depending on the year. So I think that's the really telling. So, I mean, you're right for Austinites or Texas or the South, but specifically the Southwest.
Yeah.
Because even Atlanta it's not summer in October, right? Like it's starting to become, it's fall kind of, so yeah, fall. So, but you're not the only one with the animal. Was that your check-in?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, you done? You're not the only one with the animals because I love the animal videos I think it is an age thing because I'm obsessed with the ignorance that I had about how humanistic animals are. And I know they say, stop trying to make animals human, but they're not human, right? They're living creatures or whatever. But I think what I'm in awe is because I'm not an animal person like that outside of dogs. I'm not, I hated biology, even though I got an A, I still hated it, right? And I think what I come to learn is, with the exposure of TikTok, is just really how animals have their place and how, like one of my biggest things that I'm obsessed with is watching animals give birth, like cows.
Oh, wow.
I love it. I love it.
I skipped that part.
I love to see it because, like, and then how, like, they automatically know what to do to, you know, for their babies. Like, their babies come out of the little sack. And they gotta lick the sack. Some of them.
There's some bad cow mothers. Now, that right. I have noticed. Yeah. Right. I've noticed that where it's like they've had to take some of the, not to cut you off, but some of the farms I've watched, they've had to take the cow away from the mama because the mama just was like, she just didn't act like she had a kid. And they was like, well, this is her first child. And we trying to get her to understand that this is her child. But they was like, one of the cows, she wasn't with it. So they had to put her somewhere else and let another cow adopt the baby because the mama just, she act like she ain't had no kids. She was not maternal. But I'm going to cut you off.
But you know, but that's humanistic. Look how many mamas that know how to raise a child after they have a child. How many parents, like human parents that don't want a baby, or how many human parents don't know. Yeah. Like when you think, so I agree. I think it's kind of like a instinct, or because a lot of times it's biological with the animals, right? Because they have to have that connection, a certain smell, a certain something that triggers their instincts. So that's why it's always kind of like a gamble. You don't know, you know, whether the mother is going to respond the way it should, right? But I mean, we think about humans, you know, or even what they call after they have a baby.
Postpartum,
or mamas that not to go, you know, what you call that, not to go too, you know, off the rails, but, you know, parents that kill their babies, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. Like, and, you know, so I think it kind of aligns, even though, okay, they're in the wild and we are supposed to have more intelligence, so it might not be as much of a gamble, right? Like, humans seem to tend to have more skills than like the gamble of like a mother giraffe or a lion. But what I also love too about watching them have birth, and it's the idea that human babies, right? For us to be the most intelligent species on Earth, we have the most non-intelligent babies born, right? A human baby cannot walk, cannot talk, cannot do anything on their own for years. But then you get a baby giraffe, and they come out, and they automatically, within a couple of hours, know how to walk. And that just amazes me. I'm like, well, why babies don't know how to walk, right? Like, it's the same. It just really amazes me how each species is designed to survive in whatever environment that they're born in, right? And that it just so fascinated to me. And then how, like, a baby giraffe know to go back into his mama, what they call it, a joey knows how to go back into his mama's pouch, like, automatically for protection, right? Like, it's not, there is no form or anything, or like these babies, or how they automatically know to, like, I saw some dogs, a mama having some dog babies, like, they automatically know how to go and start sucking milk off the mama's titties. It amazes me how these, and then, like, I saw this guy, he had a dragon iguana, and that dragon iguana was acting like a dog. Like, when the person had some food, it would climb up to the person. When the iguana wanted to be hugged, like, I never thought like a reptile had feelings or needed to be comforted by, you know what I'm saying? Like, domesticate. And so to watch this iguana, or watch these other animals that we normally don't see domesticated, interact with humans in that way, it's just like, oh my god, like, do that thing really have feelings? Like, it wants to be comfort, it wants to sleep in an arm, it wants to be walked around like a baby. It's like so I'm with you. I watched that for hours watching, and even the bad videos with it, you know, the wild videos where they be killing each other. I like that too, because they automatically go into like, bitch, it ain't happening, right? And you just watch how they use all of their skills to go against, you know, the predators, the lions, whoever's on the top of the food chain or whatever. So, yes. And I also, the age thing, I do think it's an age thing, but I was telling my brother yesterday, like, I had made some spaghetti, and I was telling how my palate changes because I had put some some plain yogurt and some feta cheese on it, right? And he was like, what the fuck? What is that? I was like, I don't know. It's just something about when you put like a dollop of yogurt and some feta cheese. Like, I don't really know sharp. You know, we've been born on cheddar cheese our whole life. Mm-hmm. But I really love feta cheese and I really like yogurt. And it's just, I don't know. It's just, but that's not like an old person would eat that. Like, that is not something I would just normally wake up and want yogurt and feta cheese in my spaghetti. So things does, you know, our palate does change and stuff like that. And I guess the end of my check-in is about a few people from the past has come back positively. I was thinking that I think last time me and you talked, it was like some negative people, not negative mm-hmm. people, but some people that I had negative interactions with were coming back in my life. But some people that I had some positive, you know, Tiffany, you remember Tiffany that used to live in Austin? She was in my house when I was in the house with Chanel or whatever.
I remember her name, yeah. I remember here when she was here.
But she know you. Y'all met, I think, when you visited before you moved here.
Yeah.
And she's back in Austin. And I was able to talk to some other people. We were looking at some friends. And it was like, wow. So it's been some old, good people that I had great relationships is resurfaced. So I guess to end that check-in, like, you know, call that person you ain't talked to in years if you still got their number. If you, you know, message somebody on Facebook that you ain't messaged in years and see how they're doing, right? Like, you know, life is short. You know, keep those relationships going if you can. And not necessarily, I know we all like protect our peace, but you never know, right? It might be, you know, a new season, new things happen when people separate, you know, people move. Work life, people have kids, you know, used to work with somebody, y'all were tight because y'all was at the same job, y'all not at the same job no more. Mm-hmm. Hit them up, like, girl, what you over there doing? Oh my God, your daughter going to, you know, college and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I think it's good to, you know, hit people up, you know, out the blue and see how everybody doing. Check in on folks that you ain't checked in on a while. Because I had a good time reconnecting. Huh?
I said it's a skill. My mom used to be so good at that. Like, she would keep, and mind you, this was phone book. Like, she used to do it with phone books and go through her phone book and she'll look for somebody and she'll call them. Hey, she was so good at that. And like, one of my cousins is good at that too. But it definitely didn't trickle through the family. I didn't get it. Because a lot of other ones did not get that. Like, you know, it just is not a natural thing for me. But certain people, it's just so natural, like, to check in. Like, okay, yeah, I'm going to check mm-hmm. in, da, 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 but it's just not, you know. That's why I say, for me, it's a skill that I just have not developed. But I'm not saying that to be cute. I'm just being honest.
Right. And it is. I mean, because I feel like we live our own lives, right? Everybody, our lives is so kind of centered around what's in front of us, mm-hmm. You know, what our, you know, priorities are, what, you know, our interests are. Because, you know, I'm big with just moving on from relationships with people. Not necessarily in a bad way, but if it don't fit, you know, I'm not really here to force something to keep going. You know, I mm-hmm. like people coming in and out of my life. Like, child, it was a season. I'm really good with a season. I'm not meant to hold on to something or let go of something just because. But if it just, we go in a different direction, that's okay. So yeah, I agree with you. So I think it's more so a skill, but also an intentionality, right? Like, to be intentional to do it. I think that's the only way it can happen, right? Because mm-hmm. even with Tiffany calling me, like, it took me a few times. I didn't know the number. Then she had messaged me on Instagram. She had called me. I'm like, why is she calling me on Instagram? So it took me like a day to be like, okay, let me see what's going on with Tiffany. Because again, you know me, I only talk to 2-3 people. I only text 2-3. I'm not a big communicator if, you know, but I found it to be quite pleasant. So, yeah. So shout out to those old relationships, not, you know, lovers and stuff like that, just human relationship, friendships or acquaintance or coworkers.
You keep those open too, though.
Yeah, I did talk to Will yesterday. I did. The old Will, school teacher. And they typically called him school teacher. I haven't heard nobody call him school teacher in so long. So that's what I'm saying. It brings back all those memories of things. And it kind of brings a little joy, like oh, we did do that. Oh, that was, you know, reminiscing is kind of fun sometimes.
Yeah, I do it all the time by myself. Okay, so this episode is a lot of music talk. The BET Awards just happened. I did not watch them. Like I said, my age has set in. And even though they said some, you know, Funkin' I Need to Say This, the best one ever, I don't know about all that, even just from seeing clips. But, you know, to each his own. Again, I admit that I have not aged. I have not progressed with where everybody else has, and I'm okay with that. But, yeah, I didn't watch, but the reason I bring it up is just because it was, well, I'm going to talk about this shortly, because we might not even get to everything I want to talk about. The whole thing with Drewski hosting and, you know, the Kiki should have hosted and all this kind of stuff. I wanted to talk about something different first because it's a segue I could go into that's perfect about that. I'll come back to that. But we'll come back to that. I just first want to talk about, the BET Awards, you could tell me what you thought about the BET Awards. I'll come back to it after this, if I can. I don't know if I'll be able to. Or maybe I should just talk about this first because I want to talk about Kyresha and Indie Irene. But, yeah, what did you think of BET Awards? Uh-oh. I can't hear you.
Oh, my bad. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
Hello?
I hear you. You can't hear me? Oh.
I know. I get it. Look, you so nervous. Yeah. You know, that's your production.
Because I'm like, wait a minute, what happened now?
What could I say about the BET Awards? The BET Awards was okay, right? Like, I don't think, you know, T.I. opened it up. He sounded great. The energy was great. He definitely looked like an older guy. But I felt like it was good that he opened up. You know, he got the number one album out on iTunes and stuff like that. It looks like he's kind of making, you know, what a comeback would look like from somebody from the 2000s, right? Tens and whatever. The early 2000s. I think they had, you know, the Lauryn Hill tribute. I mean, I don't think nobody was really bad. And I don't think, I think they used what they had. And it was all, I think it was on the better side for sure. Relevancy is always the question that I measure it by. I just feel like we're at this turning point that the artists that are supposedly superstars are just not at the same level of superstars when BET was first BET. And so I think it's just the what you call that gap in what a superstar is. So when you see somebody like a Lizzo, and we can get to Lizzo later, right? Doing a tribute, it just doesn't have, she's Lizzo or like a Doja Cat, like these newer artists or a SZA and a Doechii. I feel like they did their parts, right? Like they wasn't necessarily bad, but the impact is just not there because while they are successful, they're just not the type of stars that we're kind of conditioned to when they get to that level of success. And it's not that they don't have talent. I just think, you know, so I think those times, and so when we look at other people, we all excited, right? Like the people that we already know. So I don't know how to get around. I don't know how to judge that, you know? What do you feel about that? Like, it's like they are, like, you can't really be mad if you got Doechii, SZA, Lizzo, Doja Cat at the BET Awards, right? Performing, right? Like, they're, you know, the hot people out. But at the same time, I just don't think it has impact. I think nobody really, they care, but it's just not the same. Like, oh my God, Lizzo or Doja or Doechii or SZA, it just doesn't have that.
Okay. Yeah. I actually have a video that kind of talks about that. We're going to have to switch this around a little bit. I wasn't going to talk about that first, but it just doesn't make sense for me not to go into this because I think this young lady kind of hits on a little bit. It's more so about performances. But you asked the question. Let me ask you a question first. I don't think that the superstardom is the same, but that is just because of that whole niche stuff. That people have niche mm-hmm. audiences and stuff like that. It's a global, you know, we don't all like the same people. Everybody's fave mm-hmm. to them is a Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't translate outside of the internets and their own world. I was about to put another word in there, but I'm going to leave him alone, I'm gonna let him live. But we're going to talk about that too. Hopefully we can get to all of them. But I'm going to start with this one. Let me make sure how to find it, because I was not going to do this one first. But, and yes, I am nervous because of the technical difficulties I had, because I don't want to start over again.
You were like, I can't hear you. I'm like,
well, yes, because I did not want to have to start this all over again. So, and I'm still dilly and dallying with stuff now. I'll use that for this. I don't dilly and dally outside like everybody else. I gallivant, but I can dilly and dally with stuff like this.
You got a what?
I say I gallivant when I go outside. I don't dilly and dally.
I gallivant. Okay. You sure you're just not a trollop?
No, never in life. Okay. I hope it's probably gonna play. So you might hear it. Sorry. I haven't figured this part out yet. Yeah, there we go.
Not you looking at it like that, like it's actually moving.
Well, no,
Shadow's definitely put his whole body into it. But I'm saying it's on the screen, right? You moved your body as if.
Because this is in the way. So I had to look around it. Because if you saw my desk, it's like, it's a lot going on. So yeah, instead of moving that, I moved my body. Real backwards. Okay, so I think I can go ahead.
Real body, girl. Welcome.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, you ride it, girl.
You see her? Yeah, yes. She there. All right. So what she talks about, just the state of, she's more talking about performances, but let's just hear what she got to say.
What happened to performers? No, seriously. What happened to people who got on stage and acted like your hard-earned money deserved everything they got? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the excellence? Where is obsession with giving people something that they will never forget? Today, half of the performances are backing tracks and absolute nonsense. Michael didn't perform. He emptied himself. This man will come off stage physically and mentally exhausted that people around him knew to just leave him alone. He gave everything he had. You could literally watch Michael Jackson losing weight on stage during a concert. That is how hard he worked. That is not entertainment. That is devotion to your craft. Now, people call standing on stage while your own track is playing in the background a performance? We have lost the plot. Music used to have soul. Concerts used to feel like an event. Like you would leave feeling like you just witnessed an historic event. Now everything feels empty, cold, disposable. We have become so impressed by the production that we have forgotten the art of music. Bigger screens, more fireworks, more outfits, less talent, less effort, and less passion. Stop comparing people to Michael Jackson. Why shouldn't I? The standard should not move because excellence became rare. It should stay where excellence sets it. That is why people keep going back to Michael Jackson. It is not nostalgia. It is once you've seen someone give absolutely everything that they have for the music, it is hard to applaud people who barely give anything at all. Music deserves better. That's why people say that we will never see another performer like Michael Jackson who treated the stage like it's sacred. Anyways, I pray you have a blessed day. Bye.
Yeah. Well, my opinion about that. I mean, I have mixed feelings about it because I totally agree with her, right? But at the same time, I do agree with the why Michael Jackson. I think, yes, that's the standard. But I also think we need to also understand that Michael was a genius. And I think it's not that, because we talk about this all the time. It's not that I'm saying that we should settle for less. We should, of anything, like her video is trying to do for sure, is to make sure that we continue to celebrate Michael Jackson's greatness and understand that really somebody like Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston or these people are really once in a lifetime people, right? Like, because when Michael Jackson, the thing is, when Michael Jackson was Michael Jacksoning, right, there were still other artists able to do their thing. They were not as great as, in my opinion, they were not as great as Michael Jackson. You know, I'm not a full Michael Jackson baby. I was born in 85, so my whole life, by the time I was born, Michael Jackson was already great, right? So it's not that I just watched his evolution to greatness. When I was born, he was great, but he also continued his greatness, right? Like, so my whole childhood, Michael Jackson was great. I think Michael Jackson really was a prodigy since the, you know, as a child. And I think that's the argument that I am strongly, you know, ever since the movie, ever since, you know, the music is doing well, is to change or make people think, okay, this, he was a genius. You're trying to compare like Albert Einstein to someone who gets, you know, an A in calculus, you know, at a Detroit public school. Not saying that they're not on, you know, that he can't become, but, you know, it's like apple and orange. And I think the issue that if we use that logic, we will always fail because they won't be like Michael Jackson. They cannot, like, he is that special. And that's where the plot gets lost. I can, and with her video, I love it, right? But I'm just saying, if other people will watch that video, but like, you're doing, giving Michael Jackson too much. No, we're not giving Michael Jackson enough, in my opinion. We're trying, and her video will show you the greatness of Michael Jackson. And I think that's the conversation. I mean, most people know, but I feel like the generation or the TikTok crew and the people that's trying to dilute Michael Jackson, right? Like, there's no comparison. While Chris Brown, like, because I don't feel like Chris Brown don't give his all on his stage, or Usher. Like, I'm watching clips from the R&B tour. They're giving their all. I just don't think their all is as good as it could never be. As they're not as talented as Michael Jackson. I think it's a place for them, but they should never be in the conversation of Michael Jackson, even musically. Like, all you have to do is push play on any of Michael Jackson's album, and you cannot compare it to no one's album. You know, and you're talking about live performance. That's conversation can't even, I mean, we would never see nothing like that in our generation. I don't think it could never happen again, but we ain't seen it. And so that's my issue around why I understand what she's saying, but I wish Michael Jackson wouldn't even be compared to, I wish we, this new generation, understand the comparison is just not there. Stop comparing Michael Jackson to your faves. I don't care how many, they could break every Michael Jackson record because of the new music system, Billboard tracking, how they do it, whatever. But the comparison is just not there. I just don't see it.
Okay.
What did you think about the...
Well, I guess I took her video a little different, I guess, you know, which is why, right, I wanted to play it. Because I think I hear what you're saying. I think for me, I think, yeah, comparing to Michael Jackson is like a stretch. But I agree with her when she says that just excellence, we shouldn't remove, because, okay, yeah, don't compare it to Michael Jackson. But I also don't want it to be compared to somebody who's horrible on stage, a Summer Walker. Like, I don't want that to be the new great. And I feel a lot of people are just like, oh my God, I've heard people rave about, oh, she did such a great job. And da da da. Compared to what? Compared to what's great? Like, what's a great performance compared to what are we? I mean, not Michael Jackson, no. But I feel like the bar has been set too low. And not Michael Jackson. Maybe it could be somebody else. Maybe it could be Beyonce. But I think Beyonce and Chris Brown, I give it to him, does great on stage. Usher does. But you know, they're both Michael Jackson fans. So they kind of got a little bit trickled in. But I think that we're starting to, we're clicking down with performances. It is, people are just coming out on stage, exactly what she said, and they are just playing a track and they got some fire on the stage and they just sitting there like, that's not a performance. You know what I'm saying? Even rappers, like I think some rapper, and I'm not saying rappers supposed to be like Michael Jackson. I kind of like the rawness of rappers when rappers just kind of do anything. Like my sister Lil' Kim, I used to love, like back in the day, I loved how just raw she was. She was just doing anything. And it was just, but her energy was like high. And you know, so I could get into that. But now I just feel like it's, I be seeing some of these girlies, a single black female. I've seen her performance at Rolling Loud. And I'm like,
who?
A single black female.
I forget which one is that.
You should know who. I never called her that, but I'm going to call her that. She's the new single black female. Who, think about it. Is she single black female to your girl?
But I'd be, okay, Cardi?
No. Trim.
My girl. Oh, my God. That girl. We could talk about her, too, because I just saw her XL, XXL promo. I'm like, this girl.
Yeah.
I just feel like she's definitely right. But I mean, I can't say that she's 19 or whatever. I think she has a flow. It's a manufactured flow. But it is a flow. But it's getting ridiculous. I think the conversations now, we the lack of original. I mean, it's just so much. It's entertainment, it's performance, it's talent, it's originality, it's depth, it's impact, it's all these things that we're watching, and it's we talk about it so much, because I just, like somebody like Trim and Mono Leo, it's not that I want to be against them so bad, because they're, you know, but they can't exist when somebody like Doja Cat exists, or even Dochi, right? It's like, how we go from Doja Cat to Dochi to now Trim and Mon Leo. And it's not that they don't have something, and I guess they have a place. And that's another thing, too. It kind of go back to what you said, that we think because music is so segregated, right? Like everybody niche, everybody have their fans, that where somebody like a Mono Leo could exist amongst a Little Kim, like again, we've seen every female rapper that came out during Little Kim, Foxy era wasn't big superstars, right? They had their own little thing going on. It's not that Mono Leo couldn't exist, but it goes back to what you were saying. Her fans is going to act like she is just killing it. And I think the delusion, like you always say, the delulu is what tanks it's really the fan base. Because I feel like in any industry, because I'm still here on how Mono Leo could get American Music Award and never had a charted single, right? I keep bringing that up because it gagged me. I'm like, well, how could she already be at that level? And not saying that she's a new artist, she's been doing this a while, but I'm saying she's still is an upcoming artist. She's not there yet. So how can she be best new artist at the American Music Awards with no song? But if you ask her fans, right, they go, you know, they can name 20 Mono Leo hits and gonna swear that they were the hits, that she got Song of the Summer, right? And so I think it's really, I don't know. That's just an interesting dynamic to me about the delusion of fan base.
We can talk about
that. I think it's the bar. I think it's the beehive. I think it's those fan bases that has changed the way music is being exported right now, like how we consume music. I think it kind of ruined the industry with the Swifties, the Stan culture, because everybody is trying to have it with artists that not even at the same level. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, how? I mean, you could be a fan, but come on now. I don't get it. Well,
let's talk about that. Because I have another clip. You talked yourself right into my next clip. I love it. You literally talked us right into the next clip. So let's go to it. Because she's talking about this. Hold on, make sure the volume's... I turned it down.
So oh, damn. Here. I really did. That's literally the title of the video.
One of my biggest pet peeves in music is people not caring to know anything outside the orbit of their favorite artist. Like, you could just tell that their knowledge of music starts and ends with their favorite artist. Anything outside that, they do not care to know. And those are the worst type of people to have music conversations with, because you just know that nuance will be non-existent. And I think stan culture is one of the biggest causes of this, because one thing I've noticed about stans is the disregard for lineage in music. And when you have a disregard for lineage, you're gonna treat one artist as the center of the universe and disrespect everything else. If the artist sings or raps a certain way or even uses a specific style of production, then suddenly they're the first and the greatest to ever do it. And honestly, I think this is one of the biggest disconnects in music dialogue today. There's just way too many stans of artists and not enough fans of the music. A fan can appreciate what makes an artist special while still recognizing that that artist does not exist in a vacuum. Because there's honestly nothing completely new under the sun, and every great artist stood on someone else's shoulders at some point. To develop actual taste, you have to be willing to explore beyond just one figure. You have to be a student to really understand the influences and see where certain ideas were born from. Once you're willing to zoom out on one artist and actually get curious and experience music for what it is, the listening experience changes entirely.
Hold on before this next part. Boom.
I mean, she literally just said what I said.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
She literally just said what I said in the most elegant. And shout out to her. She was a beautiful woman. Yeah. So what's your thoughts about that? Because that's what I literally just said. I can't even respond to that.
Yeah, that's what you just said. Right. So it's other people out here that feel the same way you feel. I agree 1,000%. I think for me, though, and you of all people know, I feel like now stans and fans are one and the same. Because you know me, I'm always talking about somebody's fans. I'm always like, her fans, right. Her fans. Because I don't look at fans the same way anymore. I get what she's saying. I agree with her. She still holds fans in a position like us. Like, we would be fans to her. I don't look at us as fans anymore, because I just feel like fans have just merged over to stans. I think it's all one and the same at this point. I think we are a different breed. I don't know what name we could call for us or people like us at this point, but people like us and her, we're a different breed. But I agree 1,000%. And I think that is why you have these people saying that, you know, Monalio herself said it. She was the first person to do that pink shit. And I'm not going to let her live that down, because I don't appreciate her saying that. And this is coming from me. From me. My thing is, I could not like a bitch, but I would never, ever take... I can't deny what the impact they had. I would never deny Foxy. Ever. You might catch me in the club rapping one of Foxy's verses. Because some shit she got, I can't deny. I'm like, oh, bitch, no, that was hot. Sorry, Kim. But she did that. So I think that's the thing. Is we're just, everything is new. Like she said, nothing truly is new. But these new fans or stans, they think everything is new. Everything is fresh. I can even go to, like, I was thinking about it, and this is controversial. I was thinking about, you know, the whole Queen Bee thing with Beyonce and Kim. And I'd be seeing in the comments sometimes how people be like, you know, Kim is not the Queen Bee. It's Beyonce. And this is no shade to Beyonce, because let me just put out there, Beyonce refers, she calls Kim Queen Bee. That's how she refers to her. When she saw her at the Rock Nation, she said, Queen Bee. That's how she, so my thing is, she herself do it. So, but her fans, you know, they think, oh no, it's not Kim. I'm like, well, you not, bitch, ain't no bitch about to take a nickname away from me. If I was nicknamed something, that's my nick. I don't give, it could be 10 other ones. I don't give a fuck. That was my nickname. Somebody called me, so that's what I am. I'm not supposed to, change it because somebody who's bigger, you know what I'm saying? But that's just the delusion of it. So it's a lot of delusion, a lot of ignorance a lot of just living in a bubble on the internet and not, all those things that you said, all the things that she said. And it's just unfortunate because I just think it's unfortunate. I think I'm just always so puzzled by it because I was not like that. I always wanted to look backwards. Like, I always wanted to know what came before. I still do. I still be wanting to go back. I was watching I think I talked about this before, but I was looking at artists on Tamla Records. That was Motown before Motown became Motown. And, you know, some of the R&B artists of that time. And you know how R&B used to sound so different. And, you know, that interests me. But, you know, nowadays, if your fave, you know, everybody wants their fave to be the one and do everything. Going back to BET, because I said this one, I feel like I can kind of maybe tie into BET. That whole thing with Drewski and Keke Palmer. Now, I know that was a skit. That was a joke on their end. But again, people on the outside take it seriously. And everybody loves them some Keke. And they like, oh, yeah, Keke should have done it. It should have been Keke and stuff like this. And I'm like, Keke does a lot. Why can't y'all let somebody else do something? Like, and there's no shade to her, but I'm like, Keke, she's already on the board. She has her own talk show. I literally Googled all the things, or not Googled, but more so Gemini. I used Gemini to find. I was like, what's Keke Palmer's jobs? What all does she do? And it says actress and executive producer, professor. She's going to be a professor at UCLA. in this upcoming academic year, she's teaching a class on a school. What is the class? She's launching a 5-year residency. Teaching a class about a school of theater and film and television. Teach students the business side of the industry. She's the network founder of her own TV network, Key TV. She's a podcast host for her podcast that we've seen clinks of. Of course, she's a singer and she still comes out with music. She's The Burbs. I guess The Burbs is still going to be on. It hasn't been, so I guess she's still a part of that show. She just did I Love Boosters. She has that Southern Fried Rice. Is that still on? I guess they still saying that that's a thing, but that's another TV show she has. She has a new movie coming up with Eddie Murphy called The Pickup. Good Fortune, another movie with Aziz Ansari's, and one of them. I guess she's doing a sequel to One of Them Days, and then she's the founder of Practice by Palmer, the workout app, and she's teaching people at Essence. She's doing a session, I think, at Essence Festival this weekend. She's gonna teach people how to do Pilates. She's the host of the show Password, and she's been doing that since 2022. She's on the board of advisors of BET. She just got that job recently. Why y'all talking about y'all want her to host? She's already on the board of advisors. Why can't that just be enough? And she's the chief brand and officer of Cream of Nature. What more do y'all want her to do? I ask ChatGPT anything. I'm like, what? Can you tell me about attachment styles? Because maybe that's why people are just attached to their faves, and that's why they want them to do everything. Because when they were just like, she should have told, I'm like, she does enough. Why do y'all want y'all faves to do everything? I'm going back to the whole music thing. I've never wanted my fave to do everything. Michael Jackson fan here. Michael Jackson fan. I never wanted him to do everything. It was room. Right. Oh, if I was watching the Soul Train Awards and he didn't perform, I was cool. The Soul Train Awards was still good. I'm like, oh, the Soul Train Awards was good this year. Michael didn't have to be there. BET, well, Beyonce, she should have been there. But let that woman take a break and let somebody else in. It's weird to me. It's borderline obsessive. Suffering. Yes, it is. It's just a lot. And I just don't, I guess it. I'm always talking about it. I'm always talking about you because I just truly don't understand it. I'm just like, I never wanted, I always, like you said, you even said it back in the day, we had so many different, we had the different artists and stuff like that. And they were not all Michael Jackson. They were not all performing at his level, but we would still be cool. Like, we would be cool with it. Like, oh, that was a good performance. Hell, even when Whitney Houston did the Soul Train Awards, we was like, yeah, she did that little skit with her dress. And that's all she do. We loved it. Like, we loved it. Like, oh, really? We loved it. Or when she performed It's All Right, It's Okay. I think she was the opener one year of the Lady of Soul or Soul Train Awards. And Whitney just did Whitney. Great. Like, I didn't say, oh, they should have got Michael Jackson. Or, oh, they right. should have got Janet. You know what I'm saying? No, I was okay. yes, give me more. So I don't know. Is this different? I'm happy to see people like us and the beautiful young lady. You know, she sees things from the way we see it. She talks about music a lot, too. She talks about a whole bunch of stuff. I say a lot of her videos. So, yeah, I agree with her. And everything I just said, everything you said and everything she said. Yeah.
But I totally agree with you about the Keke thing. We said it, like, I love Keke Palmer now, and I'm a big, back in the day, Keke. I actually seen her perform when she was on Disney Keke type of thing. And enough is enough. You're talking about oversaturation. Like, girl, I see Keke at least one time every day for some reason. And even that I thought was just too much. It was funny. It was funny. Keke is funny. Keke would normally give me a chuckle. Like, she's just that girl, right? But at the same time, you don't want to keep seeing the person. It becomes annoying after a while, that gimmicky, over and over and over again, because I feel like she pops up, she's performing new music, you know, then she got a movie out, then she's doing the podcast, then she's, you know, going around, it's your girl, you know, all these gimmicks, give her a break. And I get it, you know, getting it while it's hot, right? Like Keke, you know, she had to climb her way to this level, but she's here now, she's there,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So she doesn't have to sing or work so hard, and she shouldn't have to do everything, right? Like, why can't it be more than one personality that's doing stuff? I think Drewski did a fine job. Like, he's not my favorite comedian, but most of people who've been on there, Monique wasn't my favorite comedian. She did good at the BET Awards. Kevin Hart has never been funny, but I think he, you know, did what he did when he did it, you know?
Dang.
It's a place for everybody. And I think if Keke one day did host, she probably would be great. You know what I'm saying? I felt like she already hosted. So that just shows
she hosted
how much
the MTV Awards. Okay, just a couple of years ago.
You see her so much. I thought she is, you know,
she did Billboard Women Music Awards too. That's what I'm saying. Like, y'all just want Keke, Keke. Let somebody else in. What is wrong with y'all? But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. And so I think Drewski was a great choice. I think it goes back to, again, I think it's the issue is, I keep saying it, impact. That's why they keep looking for the same artist. We had so many different artists at the same time that all had some kind of impact. So when you're in these silo fan bases within the black music, because the thing was, for the majority, we were always on the same accord, or at least half and half, right? Like, you might have liked the skin, you know, if you think about the 90s, you might have was a big, you were probably against maybe Lil' Kim and some, but you know, you had the Lil' Kim and hip hop heads and rappers. But then you had the R&B people, right? Like, you had, it was usually just R&B and hip hop. Like, that was the division of black folks. People either liked R&B or people just liked hip hop or people liked both. Again, and so the black people was more of on a consensus of what was hot, right? Like, you know, you still had a Wu-Tang Clan who was, you know, huge, but then you still had a Boyz II Men. Like, I think about the variety of what you had. So if a Wu-Tang Clan came to the award show, that was something, right? If Boyz II Men came to the award show, that was something. If Mary J. Blige came to the award show, that was something. If Toni Braxton came to the award show, that was something. If Mariah Carey came to the award show, that was something. It's SWV. Like, you had all these people who would move us as a community, as a lover of their music. You had options where the impact, if Janet Jackson came out, the impact, you know, or you brought Anita Baker, if you bought, you know, or maybe somebody who had a hot song that was just hot for the moment, but you had these varieties of impact. And I feel like the issue, like I stated before, is the because of going back to what you were saying, the niche of music within Black culture, you know, like for like a young boy, right? A young boy, NBA young boy, he would be like, for him to come out, oh my God, right? That would have been big. That would be big for a lot of people, but it would be totally like, what the fuck is this for so many people? Like, there would not be no universal consensus that, oh my God, young boy showed up. Right. For Jay-Z, it would be, right? Like Jay-Z or a Nelly or a T.I., like all of those different rappers had a universal appeal. But now we don't. Like, okay, if you have Youngboy, I feel like most people wouldn't even know his music, but his niche fans would just be going crazy. I'm trying to think of another rapper, a little Uzi Vert, right? If he came out, that might, you know, he's successful enough, but I feel like it would be so detached for so many people. You know, like a Summer Walker, she has broke the records, you know, R&B most streamed artist, R&B, you know, all of these things. But in reality, you could probably go down Detroit hood and you might find some people who don't even know a Summer Walker song. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the truth. For her to be on paper has done all of that. Her impact, you know, I would think like maybe a I would think the only artist that I would give that is maybe like a Doja. I feel like she has done, she has had such a variety of kinds of music where she might have maybe touched maybe every corner, especially with that, her slow song. What was that one song where they was getting naked and stuff? Like You, that one that they were, it was, she wasn't getting, but it was a trending when they turned the red light and you had the silhouette.
I remember, yeah.
I feel like that one, yeah, I feel like that one was kind of like, it kind of went to the hood, right?
Why yeah, it did.
It was a hit, but it went to the hood.
For sure. Right?
And I feel like a lot of these artists, or like a Lizzo, right? We've been talking about Lizzo, where she was so big in a white community that people would probably, she would go down, I always think about a block in Detroit, people probably would call her music trash, right? Mm-hmm. If you went down a block in Detroit. So I think really because of the state of the industry, and you know, to be fair, it's not just Black music, right? Like, what's the number one song in the country right now, Emerson?
I don't know.
It's a song about the state that you live in. With that girl, Ella Langley, remember I showed you? She got 3 songs in the top 10 singles. She got, I Can Tell By The Way That You Walk, You From Round Here. Something about the Texas song.
Oh, okay. I think I seen that when I looked her up.
Huh?
See, I think I seen that song when I looked her up.
But yeah, it's a Texas. I think it's called We Choose in Texas or something like that. So it's a Texas song. Number one song. Huge, obviously, right? But bitch, I guarantee you, if we go to Black Pride event tonight, no one will be able to answer that question. What's the number one song in the country? No one will be able to know that.
They would say, you know what I'm saying? They would save somebody, but it wouldn't be her.
We gonna talk about her next. Wouldn't be her. Don't nobody even know she exists in Black. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the ice and which is causing country music to do well now, because country music has always thrived on segregation and niche, right? Like, they have always thrived. So if music is like that in the general, that's why we see country music being successful as it is, where we don't even know nothing about it. But baby, you looking at it, Taylor Swift went back to country. Taylor Swift had a number one country song in 2026. You get what I'm saying? So that's how country is being so successful, because the music is so niche and it doesn't need universal appeal. They could be racist. They could not want to have Black folks listen to it. They can do all these things. And exist and be successful, because if you are niche and you could be successful. So I think it's just happening across the board. And I don't know the answer to it. I will say the main thing is we need a crossover artist. We need crossover appeal. We need to break that. We need somebody that comes out that represents R&B and hip hop that's like a Drake or Kendrick Lamar, right? But not necessarily them. Like, I think Drake is the example of what we're looking for. Drake universally is that artist. Like, he's universally across any spectrum of the Black. Whether you love him, hate him, you know a song, you know about him, you know his culture impact. You know, if Drake walk out, it's going to be a story. Whether you against them or with them, it has that same impact. I don't know, and Kendrick, I don't know of another artist. Even SZA, I feel like could be that, but I feel like she has so many people like myself that's just not into her, right? Like, and it's not, I don't know how to describe it. So maybe SZA is the closest thing we got it to that as far as R&B. And maybe I'm just being biased because I just don't think she had that impact. I don't think she has that it factor. Like, she went, like, she did that tribute. Nobody's talking about SZA from the BET Awards. Mm-mm. Nobody ever talks about SZA's performance. I've never went to see a SZA performance. I've seen her live, and she was bad to me. And not saying that she don't come out with good music, but that's the part, right? Like, she's had the opportunity to become SZA, SZA, SZA. Who is doing that for SZA? SZA, encore, encore.
Yeah, I don't.
Give me more. Give me more. Know. Like, a five. No one is like telling SZA to come back out, you know, because she just fucked it up, right? Like, and so that's what I mean. Like, I can see that for Drake. I can see that for Kendrick. And I'm just not, I can even see that for like Jasmine Sullivan, you know, if you're R&B head. But she, of course, I'm not putting Jasmine up there because we know she's very niche. So that's what we're missing. A Rihanna. We're missing Rihanna's. We're missing Drake's. We're missing Beyonce. We're missing Universal. We're too divided when it comes to musical impact in the Black community.
Well, that's because nobody
likes the same thing.
And they won't let go of the Rihanna and Beyonce's. They still rating on that Rihanna album. The Navy is still, you know, they are like, I guess with bated breath, waiting for her to come out with that album. So, like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I get it. Right, and there's nothing wrong with them being a fan or you wanting your person to come out with an album, but I'm just saying, but they won't let anybody in the meantime. And then you got people like Coco. Everybody is talking about that whole clip with Coco Jones, and I sent it to you. I was like, well, at least she knows where she stands in the industry. I thought that was very raw of her to say out loud.
I didn't get a chance to watch it. What'd she say?
Oh, damn. I don't have it clipped, and it's too long, really. And sure.
What's some of the highlights?
She said... Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a thing. She said, I don't have a thing. She was like, you know, I have personality. Yeah, but she's like, I don't really have a thing. She was like, you know, it's just kind of frustrating that I'm always like this close, but I never seem to cross over. It's like, I'm like right there, but I can't seem to cross over. And it's frustrating because she's in the process of doing another album. And she's like, well, what do I do? Because everything I've done in the past, it's like I've been like right there, but it just doesn't seem to. I think she's trying to say in her own words, she's not been impactful. She's had success, but she doesn't really have an impact. And she's just saying how she's kind of frustrated because she's not, you know, like she's not like a Mary. She ain't a Mary. You know what I'm saying? She's not like a, you know, I won't say Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, but I'll say like Mary's or even Keisha Cole or something, you know, not Keisha Cole was almost there, you know what I'm saying? Or a little bit up, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to think of people like in nice, but I just say Mary. She's not a Mary. She don't have anything signature to her. You know what I'm saying? She goes out even at BET Awards, you know, okay gowns, but she does, right. You know, pretty girl, okay gowns, but it's like, it's nothing. You know, I think her being transparent with this album might work for her as far as her process goes. I don't know. But I think that's, in short, she was saying she's not there and she doesn't know how to get there. She's been trying. She feels like she has talent, but it's not happening for her. And she doesn't understand why. It's not happening all the way. She's like right up under, but it's not happening. That's pretty much what she's saying.
I think it's for all of them, though. Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's for all of them. Like, I was looking at Chloe Bailey, right? And I feel so bad because she's trying so hard. I wish she stopped talking because she got out there talking about, stream my album, you guys. Like, asking people to stream. And she's doing all these videos, wearing all these hairstyles, doing all this. Like, they're all having to become content creators, essentially. And it's really sad. Like, I don't like it. I don't like that she feels that she has to do all of this to get people to listen to her mixtape with Timbaland, right? Like, it's I wish she could just drop it. And I think it's better that she don't promote it in this way, like with this gimmicky. But it's not happening. Even if she just drop it, nobody listen to it. If she drop it and promote it, nobody, you know what I'm saying? It's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. But I'd rather the damn if you don't. Kind of like, because like Normani was a damn if you don't, right? Like, she just, bitch, didn't talk about it, didn't do anything. So, but then it just looks so bad to me. Like, what Chloe's doing looks so, like, it's just like, oh my gosh, she's so talented. But I think it's all of them, right? Like, it's like, I was even thinking about, they gave it to Kehlani. You know, she won Best R&B and she got the Grammy, but the album came out, nothing. You know, she did this big song with Missy Elliott, right? Like, you know, it feels like she got a moment that Money Love got, a moment that Coco Jones got, a moment. I don't see any, and she's been out longer than them, but I feel like once this moment of this one song goes away, like, I don't feel like Kehlani, it may be fake-wise, right? But I feel like the impact, the song is bigger than the artist. And that's happened in the 90s. Like, we've had so many, like a Deborah Cox. So, like, I feel like a No Shade, right? Like, I feel like Nobody's Supposed to Be Here is bigger than Deborah Cox, right? Even though Deborah Cox did a lot of stuff, that's the career they're kind of looking at having, you know what I'm saying, in a lot of ways. Because it's not, and which is not a bad career. Like, Deborah, you can't say that Deborah Cox had a bad career. She had a good career, but it was just those moments of success that then she was able to live off that for the rest of her career and do other things, you know, Broadway, you know, just be Deborah Cox, Tamia, right? Like, I feel like those are the artists that I'm seeing that they're breeding up now, right? Like, I feel like Kehlani should be in that conversation because she's been consistent so long. And then she had this breakout moment. I feel like you can't talk about R&B and not talk about Kehlani 10 years from now. I think she's done enough. Whether you like her or not, she's done enough. But I put her on those levels, right? But what we're missing is truly, truly an impactful crossover appeal. And when I mean crossover, I'm not even saying crossover to pop. I mean crossover just in our shit. Somebody that everybody likes or even everybody hates that's successful, right? Because I feel like, you know, if we segue into we talk about the Young Miami thing, that whole conversation around that song is doing up and making the song bigger, right? And so even if it's those moments you love or hate, it still impacts. And I just feel like these girls are just not getting that opportunity. They're just not getting that. They're not getting a Maya opportunity. They're not getting, or maybe they did get a Maya opportunity. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Because when Maya was out, she was hot, though. She was hot. Like, and even though her career would kind of put you in that mind that maybe it's parallel, but like maybe with a Kehlani, definitely not with a Coco Jones. All right, like Coco Jones, she's the Melanie Fiona. Like, Melanie Fiona have Grammys, and she had a hit R&B, you know, It Kills Me, and 4 a.m. So she has songs that we can name. But of course, she's not going to be in a conversation as someone who was impactful. I mean, she was, but you get what I mean. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. The female R&B superstar?
They think it's Summer.
She can't perform. She's bad. Be SZA. But same thing, neither one of them, you got to be able to sing.
But they don't require that now. And I think that's the thing too. The niche audience of these people are the loudest people talking on the internet streets. Like, I think that's another thing too. The people who are like us and that the young lady that I just played, I'm glad God she's talking, or even the other lady, that young lady I played before her, our voices are not as loud as the delusional fans. So I think segueing to this whole Karisha thing, I don't know if you want to play the whole thing because the video is kind of long. Well, it's only 3 minutes, and we can talk about it if you want to, but I think that it's okay. People are hell bent on supporting mediocrity, and they stand by it, which is why I say that's why I was not so keen on the BT Awards. I'm like, I can't with this participation trophy bullshit. It's just not real life. It's not real life. Internet is not real life. This stuff that they do on these award shows is not real life. You still have to work. You still have to do things to show and prove yourself at a higher level. At work, my job, I have to show and prove stuff at a higher level. I can't just, like I always say, that quiet quitting shit, that don't work. You can't do that. If you want to make some moves and shake, you have to show and prove and perform at a higher level to be able to move up, that work, that stuff still exists in real life. This shit that's happened on these award shows or on this shit that's happened on the internet is frustrating, because I'm like, this is not real life. You can't move through real life like this. And that's why a lot of these people are so fucked up, because they think they're gonna get everything easy, like somebody getting an Icon Award.
Icon of the Year, that's right, that doesn't even make sense. But anybody, how are you Icon just for a year? Like, who? I've never heard
Maya. Maya could have been Icon of the Year, I felt like, because
you already have to be an icon.
Right.
Because you have to be an icon to be Icon of the Year. And exactly. It's your year.
And it's your gear. Exactly. She was the fill-in girl for all the, my argument with Maya for y'all listeners, she was the fill-in girl for all the tours. Every time somebody wasn't doing, she filled in for BT Awards, did a great performance. She filled in for Boys Mind, did great. She had an album came out. She did a full album promotion, old school style. She was on everybody's stuff doing promotion. Whether you like the album or not, she put in the work, regardless of the fact, the old school. She came out with videos, whether you watched them or not, she came out with them and did everything with a smile. She didn't complain. She was supposed to have been on the Pussycat Doll tour, regardless of if you liked it or not. I seen all that. It wasn't just somebody who was showing up to award shows with pretty dresses and they got nominated for an Oscar.
But I would say, just in our own defense though, impact. She did not have impact. And I think that you have to consider impact, right? We just said that. Now, while she did all those things, I think she should be nominated, but she would be a better representation of someone who's not an icon already. It doesn't make sense for Teyana Taylor. It does make more sense for Amaya, right? Like, let's just say they have five people in the running for Icon of the Year. It would make sense for Maya to be in the running because she was an icon who did all these things, right? It makes sense. I don't understand how you can call somebody Icon of the Year when they're not an icon yet. That you can't be an Icon of the Year. That I don't even understand the concept of that.
Like, but her fans think she is an icon.
But how is she an icon? What she's done iconic?
That's what I want to know. And didn't she tell y'all that at the show? I thought they said that she told y'all.
Yeah, she said that she gives back to, but who? Impact. Like, these are made up, these are things that you're saying, but nothing shows that. Nothing shows that she's been an icon. She should have won Best Actress, right? That's what she did. The way she was dressed was just like anybody else who was on an Oscar tour. You know what I'm saying? When they get nominated for Oscars, they do the magazine cover. So many black women, every year they like tokenize at least one black woman who gets all the magazine covers, who gets all the talk shows, who gets all the drugs. Me and you talk about it all the time, whoever that girl is, that gear. Yes, and I can see giving her the fashion award because she was, you know, she was best, she's best actress, she was best fashion. How you skip that all the way to icon? Like, where are we going? Like, how was she music video director of the year? She's I'm not saying that she's not creative. It's so many creative
video did she direct this year, last year?
I don't know. She had one music video of the year, director of the year. That's what I'm saying.
And so
it's not to take away from her being creative. I'm around creatives all the time. And I understand her. And most of everybody in that room is a creative, right? Like at the BET Awards, right? They're all creative. They trying to make it seem like Teyana Taylor is doing creative stuff that's just so different. That's the part where they're not explaining what the, you know, from A Rose of Harlem. Like, okay, but what have she, they was like, she released the album. What album? What song? What are we talking about? She should have been and won Best Actress. She should have won Fashion. Yes, she's done that. Why are we then now honoring her for doing, being the best at what she should have won for that year? You get what I'm saying? It's like, where's the connection to this? Could you connect that to anybody? You could have said SZA was Icon of the Year. Lizzo was Icon of the Year. You could call anybody. If you're going to just give somebody, I want to know, how can someone, and everybody that's listening, you're going to have to explain this to me. How can someone be Icon of the Year if they're not an icon already? They have to already be that role. You already have to be a gen. You would have already had to win or should have won icon status, legendary status. How the fuck is Teyana Taylor an icon? Even this year,
that she didn't even win the icon.
She didn't even win the Oscar.
She's an icon.
I don't care. That's not, you can't just make up a title. Like, I think icon, that's, you, it'd be one thing, legend of the year, but icon, then you get Janet Jackson, who actually is icon, who actually won icon, who's actually somebody that's been out for 40 years, and you giving her this award because that's your friend. You know, Janet and Teyana Taylor, like, you know, they talk in real life, and I get the inspiration, but I still don't even know what Teyana Taylor has done original.
That part.
Like, what does she bring to the industry? Like, every time I see her, she's performing like Janet Jackson.
She pays homage all the time.
Right. Like, what? How can you be an icon paying homage to somebody? You have to be able to have your own iconic moment. Like, what is, play the real, show me where she's icon. Like, show me the iconic moments, the iconic performance, the iconic album sales, the iconic.
They said her BT performance last year was iconic.
Nobody even knew the song. She come out there dressed in metallic, doing all of these moves, and I'm looking like, okay, she's a dancer. We've always known she's a dancer. Like,
great. She's, we're a great dancer. Not
discrediting. She can dance. She has, mm-hmm, a sickening body. She's, mm-hmm, she's an artist. She's an artist. I'm not taking that away from her.
No.
And even her acceptance speech, she was like, you know, I'm not gonna be apologetic about taking this award, but if I'm not even blaming her, because if they're gonna give it to her, she deserves it, right? But if y'all need to stop these games. Stop these games, right? She should have won Best Actress, and that was it. And whatever, Best Fashion. Even give her a music video to her. I mean, who cares? But don't create something that is false. That's fake. You cannot be Icon of the Year, and you're not an icon. Point blank, period. It was dumb. BT, don't do that shit again. That pissed me off. It pissed me off. I'm sorry. You go to Carisha. Huh.
That's why I didn't watch it. I was like, I can't do that. You're not gonna do that. And then I love, you know, I love my sis, but nope. And somebody came on stage was like, because Janet Jackson presented her the award, she was an icon. Sorry, Kevin. No. Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope.
Y'all just make it up. Icon is too strong of a position to be in when she ain't moving and shaking nothing.
That part. Okay. Well, okay. So we probably all seen this already. Not to move on. I agree that she was not Icon of the Year. This we've already seen this. Most of us probably have, but Tyreek and I have not talked about it. I don't know what Tyreek's opinion is on actually Indiree's perspective. So that's why I wanted to talk about it, because this is not even something we talked about offline. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about it. I have an opinion about it, but here's the clip. Oh, you're not going to hear it. Sorry. Hold on. Sorry. I turned it down so you wouldn't hear it before I did it.
I think we should boycott this song of the summer. It is being wrong. Being wrongly reported that I think we should boycott this song of the summer. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I refuse to sing that song. But either you know what it is or you don't. And if you don't, you can go find it. It's very easy. But I don't think we should boycott. What I want is to see people understand the power of words and music and to make choices that are healthy for them. That's what I want. Do I think it matters what I want for people? No. I have finally learned that it doesn't matter and that there's no amount of sacrificing my life force energy that is going to make anybody want anything better for themselves. All I can do is emanate what I emanate, stand for what I stand for, and hope that it reaches who it's meant to reach. And that's it. And that's all I'm going to do. And so my comment makes it very clear that I don't think we should boycott. My comment is tantamount to everybody doesn't want the same thing. And there are a lot of people who are saying it's just a song. Well, if that's what you think, enjoy. But what I know is that music has power. But of course, I have used that power to help some people. And I have traveled around this world twice. And I see the impact of what we export out of the Black American experience to the rest of the world. Longer story for another time, but I've seen it, so I know, and I'm telling you what it is, but you enjoy if that's what you want to do, and I will enjoy doing what I want to do. And that's why I don't think anybody needs to boycott. I think people just need to make choices for themselves. That's 22 years old. And so also, this is a short version of a longer video. I put a much longer video where I go into detail about these concepts on my Substack, so go check that out if you're interested. I was also in the blogs.
Okay, I'm going to end it there because she's talking about Clive Davis on the other part. So first, two things. First of all, I don't know why you're Tyreek Daniels, why you're not on Substack. You don't want to write on Substack?
I do. I've been thinking about it. I just haven't. Yeah,
I think that's a perfect platform for you. You don't like being on video. You're not really into those social media things. You just go in there and write and make money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll let you go first. I'm sorry. Not to cut you off. I'm sorry. No, I wanted to go back into our history.
I'm scared.
No, I wanted to go back into our history with Indiree. Tyreek and I always talked about Indiree. We have lore with Indiree. It was a year that Indiree was nominated for a whole bunch of Grammys. And she went to the award show and she was pissed off. And I couldn't find the clip. But she was like, they had me come to this award show. I'm sitting here for 3 hours. It's a long award show. And I didn't get one award. We've been talking about her for years, but I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead and say, we have a history with her.
That was the year Alicia Keys won all the Grammys over her. We've been talking about Indiree for years, and this is typical Indiree, like, because she is outspoken. So this is not, I feel like she's a stub Substack. I feel like it was her way to get an algorithm. I think she was strategic about that. I think it's her brand. I think this is making the song more popular. I agree with her, but I also agree with her, it's irrelevant. Yes, what you put out is important, and yes, music does impact culture, and yes, this is a horrible message to put out, but so, right? Like, so with so many other songs, that's a horrible message to put out. I mean, there are scammers in the world. People are spending that shit. People are boosting, right? I'm looking for a booster, FYI. So if you know a booster in a Central Texas area, let me know. I'm just playing. But so I think the song is relevant. I think why the song is so impactful is because so many people can relate to it. It's boosters everywhere. People are scamming. Like, that is the culture we live in, is scamming. I mean, look at what the Dr. Brian, I think she should be singing this song everywhere, right? You know, she ain't got a PhD and she boosting and she's scamming. I think that's the culture we are in, right? This boosting and scamming era. So I think the song really resonated with a lot of people. And then the economy, people trying, you know, I don't want to get that deep. Like, I don't even know if that was the meaning, the reason why. But I've been seeing people like, bitch, like, you know, sneaking food in the grocery store, putting, you know, making little videos like they stealing food. Bitch, they ain't got no food to cook for their kid. You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's just relevant. And I think this song makes it, this outrage is going to make it even more of a culture impact. And I also think it's just on brand for NDIRE to get back in the algorithm. She is not scared of you bitches. If she wasn't scared of the Grammys, she not scared of you bitches, right? Because she was mad about it. She called the Grammys the fuck out. Like, bitch, y'all had me come to the... My music is great. I'm that bitch. I don't give a... I think it's colorism. Like, bitch, she went all the way there. So she definitely is not shooken by y'all mad at her that she said something about spin that. Okay? Y'all ain't doing nothing but giving her life. So I think it's just... it just shows that this is definitely the song of the summer, whether I agree or not. Right. I think that when you got NDIRE talking shit, you made it for the summer. Right. Like I said, you know, a small window, whether it's my song of the summer or not. I think Young Miami couldn't have had a better thing to happen to her for NDIRE to come with her hair wrap talking about the song. And now everybody, every podcast, everybody with a mic, like right now, we're talking about it. What you think?
I do think it's on brand for NDIRE to talk about stuff like this. She talked about the whole thing last year or whenever year was Meg Thee Stallion was down at Essence Fest doing the shake your ass contest. Like, every time she come out, she say something. Like she said, I do this. I come out, you know what I'm saying, and I'm going to keep doing it, you know, and I got my Substack. Y'all can come watch my video on my Substack. So, like, she's like, bitch, this is a brand for me. Like, I have a whole Substack where I do this shit. So, it's definitely not a brand for NDIRE. I guess for me, I always am not looking directly at what somebody else is saying. I always go past that and think past it. And I'm just thinking, this song being the song of the summer is crazy to me, but, you know, it kind of speaks to what I said. Music taste and everything has gone downhill. Me personally, no offense to Karisha. And my whole thing with Karisha is I really don't have nothing to say about Karisha. This is on brand for Karisha. Like, she's continuing the CD Girl brand. Like, if we think about their first album or all their albums, like the songs they come out with, she's on brand. She's doing what she do. Mm-hmm. And it's very... This reminds me of this stuff, all this think pieces and stuff like that reminds me, not to bring it back to my sis, it just reminds me of Kim back in the day when Kim was on Rolanda, Mama Ruby, her mama, and Rolanda was trying to let her have it about her music and she was having to defend herself. It's almost like history repeating itself in a little bit of a way. So I don't really have anything to say about Karisha and the song, and you know, it's sad that it resonates with so many people, because I think, you know how I am about Black people and just what our image is, and people just thinking our image is only one thing, and they think, you know, yes, there are people that do that, but I feel like they just like everybody. No, not everybody. It's a certain mm-hmm. people that do that, but that's not everybody, because I still think Black people being opulent and you know, having stuff without doing the legal stuff, I think that should be celebrated as well. But anywho, I guess that's my thing, is the people who are less than smart. I guess I'm thinking about that. Like, yes, us people with common sense, we don't think something like that. We take that as a song and just like, girl, it's a song. It's whatever. They let them have that little anthem, whatever. But it's certain people who don't. They live, you know, their views on life is very limited. They live on the internet. They don't. You know, they don't think outside of anything outside of just being part of the popular crew on TikTok, or, you know, they don't think. And just like them, you heard about the mama and the daughter who stole the Louis Vuitton. and went to TikTok. Oh yeah, mama and a daughter.
Oh, they got caught. Yeah.
And then she came online just to get some click likes and views to the song, with the song as a thing, with all the stuff that she stole. And she had just got out of jail in 2024. And then you gonna come back and do this and steal, and just so you can come on the internet to go right back to jail. And jail probably ain't shit to her. She probably like, you know, I could do a bid. You know, people be in jail. Ah, the bid ain't shit. So it's nothing. But it's just, to me, that was stupid. And it's just dumb. And it's like, we think, sometimes I have to check myself about common sense. And I'm like, I being around you and just around the people I be around, you know, we generally have common sense. We're not, you know, a lot of us are not less than smart. You know, we at least all have common sense. So I don't think, sometimes I have to think outside of it. Everybody ain't like that. It's people, have you heard of the Woo Lady on TikTok?
That sounds familiar. I think you always bring her up.
No, I've never talked about her before. I didn't know about her.
Okay.
She is telling girls how to trick. But the thing about it is, she don't look like somebody who tricks or would be. She don't look like a good representative.
Oh, I think it's Dre. Dre that talked about the Woo.
Oh, okay.
I think I recently, go ahead. I don't know about her, though.
Well, yeah. Well, in short, she's a woman who is telling girls how to trick. And she's telling girls that she can come down. I guess she's having some type of conference, I don't know, in Miami, where she's going to help them learn how to trick. And I'm like, you're not a Miami 10, and none of the girls that are coming up are Miami 10s. No shade, but we know what Miami 10s are. We know, and most of us know what that look is. It ain't you talking about that you're going to get a nigga to buy you a house and all that kind of stuff. And these girls are literally coming up, yeah, well, yeah, I said that I need a man. I said that I want a house, and yeah, I need to know what I need to do to get a nigga to give me a house. Oh, well, you can come down. You can get my ebook, and I'm having a conference. And these girls are just eating it up. Like, I'm like,
how's somebody going to teach you how to girl?
My
ebook? You paying for that?
My sentiments, exactly. And these girls are eating it up. Like, yeah, I'm going to go down to Miami. I'm gonna meet some niggas that's going to give me some. And they just, I'm happy that there's other girls on the internet, though. That's just like, y'all are dumb. She is a pimp. She's trying to pimp y'all out. Y'all ain't gonna meet the type of niggas. You know what I'm saying? They telling the truth, but some people just don't think. So I guess that's where my mind is with it. Like, I wish it could just be as simple as it's a song that none of us are taking seriously. But it's some of these people, especially with the internet, they do. And that's just the sad part about it. And that's with any song. That's with anybody. Mm-hmm. That's with Lil' Kim, Trina's, and people that they didn't know. You know what I'm saying? They try to implement. Because I heard a story of a girl, it wasn't a song, but she heard somebody on the internet talking about how to be a prostitute and how to turn tricks on Craigslist. And they try to execute it, and then end up, she got executed it, and then some guy came to the room, had sex with her, then beat her ass, and then her man, supposedly her pimp, was trying to come to shoot him, kill him, but he ended up killing the next trick that was coming to the room. So he killed the wrong person, and now he in jail for life.
Oh my goodness.
That's what I'm saying.
That shit not gonna go right.
Yeah, so.
There's no good outcome for that stuff.
Yeah, but it can't, most people like, it's not, most people in the comments, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. I wish I could think that way, but I see y'all on the Clock app. Y'all, it do be that deep. Y'all be trying to implement. Y'all, like you said, it's people do this, but I think people who do it are doing it. They know how to do it. Y'all gonna try to execute it just so you can, you know, follow, be a part of Get Fresh Crew, and then you gonna end up fucking yourself up. But that's not everybody though. But it's just that's just where my mind goes with. It's gonna be somebody. Oh, another thing too, and I'm gonna land, and we can, you know, cut. It's just something else that adds to the image of us people. Like, you know, other people going to hear that stuff and they're going to think, you know, they're going to group us all together and they're going to think that's all us. And, you know, it's just sad because I don't, you know, me personally, I don't want to be looked at like that because I like to go to stores, different type of stores. And, you know, it was a guy who recently came out.
They're going to really be following you now.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's
the
guy
who be following you.
Right, and I already have a way, I want the experience, and I feel like I can't get it because I'm going to be looked at like that. And there's a guy recently, I forgot who he is, I think he worked for the government or something, and he was worked at Nordstrom's, and they racially profiled him. So, and he like, you know, he's like, I shop here all the time. So that's the kind of stuff I be thinking. I'm like, this is something else to add to. No matter what I do, I can go and try to look as put together as I possibly can. But, you know, our culture and some of the stuff that we promote in our culture sometimes is just something else that adds, that can make stuff like that harder for other people who just don't necessarily want to be represented that way. But anyway, that's it for that. Yeah, that's my thoughts.
I agree. You hit it right on the nose. I mean, it definitely, that's what I would think. Bitch, lock the doors. Put the tag, bitch. Put the tags on there, bitch. The you know, remember those things you used to pop the tags, the boots.
Oh yeah, in,
you got the little ink tags.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, all right, all you boosters, y'all be careful out there. All the ones that want to, you know, implement the song.
Yeah,
but I guess we're wrapping it up. Love and light to all y'all. Be careful. Happy Juneteenth, part two. And we'll be back for the next episode, Emerson.
Yes, we will. Oh, crap. hold on. But yeah, we'll be back. Okay, no. Before we... Goodbye.
In that shit.
I'll carry you through as long as you carry the time.